Let's move forward in our exposition and in our dissertation of encouragement. I say encouragement because of the sphere and venue of where God is giving us to the revelation of His Word, the essence of who He is, by conveying to us in the realm of spirituality those glorious truths, those magnificent truths, the essence of who He is and who we are in Him. This is what salvation is truly about. We're going to go back over a couple of things as we move toward our conference this week. I want to go back and reiterate a couple of things that we have gone over. And of course, nothing's wrong with review. You know, sometimes when we're time passed, when in class the teachers would say, "We're going to have a review today." That means you're going to go back over some of the things that we've been over. And I was always happy because sometimes I was able to prepare for the test from the review. To me, that was always like a precursor, a indication of what was going to be on the test. Amen. Oh, my God. And so, I want you to take out your document, again, for those who are watching on the webcast and those who are listening to the audio on the website. This document, Spiritual Comprehensions and Measures, the Matrix. Everybody say the Matrix. You can go into the audio section, and there's an icon there. You can click on it, and up pops this document. Amen, which is, again, part one. There are six parts. There are about 50-some pages each. I've learned not to give you 300-some pages. Amen. Anyone, 300-some pages. Amen. This part one, we shall be on this for quite a long time, maybe a couple of years or more. I'm going to say, "Pastor, why don't you go to something else? Are you kidding?" Here is everything. You're looking in the matrix and life is beating you up, and we're going to go to something else? I don't think so. Amen. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Let's go back to several scriptures that we have gone over. We're going to reiterate a few things. And the purpose, our purpose, our aim here is that you become very, very, very scripturally and spiritually sagacious. What are we saying here? We're saying that you become in tune to the scripture perception, the deep scripture perception of what life is versus what you think you are experiencing every day. I say what you think you are experiencing. Sometimes we look at life, and there are all kinds of things that are happening. And some of it will frighten you to death if you don't really understand. And we're living in a time, day where we got all of the economic woes, and we're into global relationships now as we look into the European market and what's happening to the euro versus Greece. And one day the market started off way down, and then they said, well, they've worked out an agreement to save Greece from defaulting on its loan. Then the market went up for the next 2 days. And then the prime minister of Greece said, well, I don't know, I've got to let my people vote on this. then the market went down. All of it down until Thursday. Sometimes they said, well, maybe I won't let the people vote on this. And then they said, well, what I won't do is I want a vote of confidence from the people. And that went on into the night and into our day. Their time is different from ours. And he survived the vote of confidence. And the market started off almost like 300 points down. And then, of course, it recovered by the end of the day. It was only 60 points down. And I'm saying all of this and say, Pastor, what has all this got to do with me? Everything, you know, in the relationship to the fact that we are part of a global economy now. If Greece defaults upon this loan, the euro takes a dive, and what's next? Spain's next. Now, they don't have enough money to bail Spain out. They got enough money to bail Greece out, but not. So what would happen in all of the banks and so forth and so on? Why am I saying all this? I'm saying all of this to say this is the dot that we have fed in looking into the matrix. We live in a global community wherein you can, through the media that we have and technology, we can know what's happening around the world. And one thing affects the other, or so we think it does. And this is what we're going to kind of deal with this morning as we get into the matrix. And there's enough there to frighten you, there's enough there to really ruin your day. You know, I mean, it's more than just our bills. Now, of course, if you're really, really watching things, Tuesday at 6:30, an asteroid is supposed to come closer to the Earth than the Moon, and it's the size of an aircraft carrier, some quarter mile wide, and it could do quite a bit of damage to the Earth if it hits it. And of course, the scientists have said, and we'll deal with that. They have said, no, it's not going to hit the Earth. We've calculated the path of it, and it misses. It misses the Earth. I'm gonna deal with that a little bit in the conference, amen, and show you the trajectory that they have mapped out. By then, don't worry. By then, it will pass or hit. He said, Pastor, you're crazy. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. The idea here is to look into the matrix and not be scared out of your wits. To look at life and you are not so mesmerized by what you see that you have no respect for what God is saying. That's what this is about. First of all, Colossians 1:16 and 17, Brother Deacon, let's turn to that and let's read that from the King James and from the Greek Interlinear. Again, for those that are watching, we read from the Greek Interlinear here. Basically, not that we depend upon even that, we exegete. In other words, what we draw from it as far as the utterance of what is said is through the methodology of threefold scrutinizing it, grammatically what? Sorry. Historically and what?
Contextually.
And so as when we draw down and those three align, amen, then we have a pretty good confidence that we're on track as to what the actual utterance is. All right? Everyone has Colossians 1:16, say amen. All right, read.
We're reading from the book of Colossians, the first chapter, beginning the 16th verse, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Mm-hmm. Verse 17.
Uh-huh.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
All right. Now, the difference of which we have been laboring to convey to our hearts and for us to get the understanding is to distinguish between physicality, which would be what's in the matrix, and spirituality, which is in God's word. So here what we're doing, we're juxtaposing spirituality according to God's word and physicality according to the matrix. Now, Brother Deacon, read that now from the Greek interlinear. We're going to do a little bit of juxtaposing there, but I don't want to spend too much time here. There are quite a few areas we want to touch on this morning. I'm going to run a little over this morning. I'm going to tell you, no, we didn't start late. Amen. These are things that I think that we need inculcated and indelibly impressed into our thinking for us to appreciate God even the more as to what he has done for us.
Yes.
And what he has accomplished in our behalf. All right, Colossians 1:16 from the interlinear. Everybody that has interlinear, say amen. Now, those of you that don't, take your King James and follow along.
Colossians 1, verse 16, interlinear Greek text. Because in him.
Stop. You see that preposition there? It is epsilon ni. In. Just oppose what the King James has there. By. I'm not trying to beat up on the King James. Nobody write me saying I'm with. None of this. Just follow, please. The essence of it being in him versus it being by him is that in it, that by him gives the connotation of something remote from him. What in him speaks to here is in spirituality. Physicality is a component of manifestation, which is not the actualized essence of what a thing is. Physicality is confined to testimony and manifestation. It is light that has been processed. Remember, light to what? Energy. Energy to gas. Gas to liquid. And then liquid to mass or solid. But the source of it is light. And this is why on the cover, look at your cover for a minute. You see that 1 Timothy? Chapter 6, verse 14, and we shall be giving you the update there. God possesses light. He's not dwelling in light. Light is comprised of photons. And light comes from God. And we must distinguish the difference here. So all things created in him. In the same. A thing comes into being through the same. If it never shows up. If there's never this plane in manifestation, if God has said it, it is. Keep reading, Brother Deacon. In him, what now?
Were created.
Were created.
The all.
Stop. All. The all. The all. All things. Here you have the definite article there. So all means what? All. That's every creature that we call living creature. Every inanimate object. In every event and occurrence.
Yes.
Were created where? In him. Keep reading.
In the heavens.
In the heavens.
And on the earth.
I'll stop a minute and you go back to Ephesians 1 and 3. Where are the heavens? In Christ. In Christ.
Amen.
In Christ. We have to see physicality for what it is. Physicality is only a component of expression. It is not real within itself. A thing is ontologized in God's decree, in God having spoken it. That's the essence of where everything is. Every act, every incident, every what we call accident, there are no accidents in God. Words. See, we give God credit for being a creator. We don't give him any credit for being a designer and planner. In eternity, all things in him. And it's for purpose. Everybody say purpose. Read, Brother Deacon.
The visible.
The visible.
And the invisible.
Invisible. It doesn't matter whether it shows up or not. So, well, I didn't see it. So what? If I didn't see it, if you didn't see it, if no man sees it. Read.
Whether thrones. Or lordships.
Or lordships.
Or rulers.
Or rulers.
Or authorities.
In him. In him. Now we're gonna be good citizens in the coming months, and I advise you from here, and of course our political statement is to go to the polls and vote who the Lord leads you to vote for. Period. That's it. Because mankind doesn't determine anything. Creatures don't control the workings of creation. They don't contribute to them. They don't manufacture them. All things according to God's decree. Who's going to win the election? Whoever God has decreed for his purpose. Keep reading.
Authorities. The all or all things through him. And for him.
And stop. You notice? All things in him. Through him. For him. Let's repeat that. All things. In him. Through him. For him. Let's do that again. In him. Through him. For him. Now, where does it say anything about anybody else? Were. They're already in place. The second Tuesday, November 2012, is already there. Our conscience just hasn't caught up with it yet. It's in the matrix. So, well, I don't know what it is. So, I wouldn't waste 3 seconds engaging the congregation in some political cause. Or even social cause. We'll be participators. I'm sure that Paul, as a Roman citizen, he performed the civic obligations and duties, but I don't ever see him writing about it. Where's Rome? Where's mighty Babylon? Where's Persia? Gone. He raises one up and takes it down. It doesn't necessarily mean that that he's endorsing it. A man got an office, so he must be that. Whole lot of other folk got an office too. And in the word, he said, I raised all the living ones, did a good job with me in fellowship yesterday. He was teaching the brethren, and we went back in corroboration in Paul in Romans. He refers back to that passage in Exodus, where he said, I raised up Pharaoh. Not to show Pharaoh's power. I raised up Pharaoh to show my power so that it would be known in all earth. And we still don't get it. Remember some years ago, I was when Obama first got in the office, and everybody was said, you know, yes we can. I said, pretty soon some of those same folks are going to turn and start throwing stones. It's not about any man. What's in the matrix is what God has placed there. Again, in him, through him, what? For him. Not for me, not for you, for him. It's all about him. Not just about him, it's all about him. Finish reading that. 17th verse.
And for him have been created. Verse 17. And he is before all things.
He is first. Read.
And the all or all things in him consisted.
It's all things in him consist. Are held together. Are the composition of all things. It's in his decree. Here Paul is completely out of physicality. Now, if you don't understand the difference between actualization by God's decree in eternity, manifestation in time, you won't be able to follow Paul's writings. He's not talking about anything secular except from the spiritual viewpoint. In other words, our view of the matrix is looking down on it, right, instead of around in it. Because that's the best view. That's the true view. That view has that dimension of purpose in it. It's not about what is this. It's all about what is God's purpose in this. Because that's the reason it showed up.
That's right. Oh, make it plain.
Finish reading that. All right. Now, very quickly, let's go to and said, Pastor, we jump around. Remember, we're reviewing. Everybody said review. Hebrews 11:3.
Oh, glory.
You brought that out very beautifully yesterday. Amen. James verse.
Reading from the book of Hebrews, mm-hmm. the 11th chapter, 3rd verse, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God.
You know what he didn't say? Through scientific research, analysis. And of course, I'm not against scientism. My wife would tell you, my favorite channel is the science channel. The problem with scientism is it tries to explain physicality with physicality. Read that.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
And somehow, that just goes right by the ministry. In fact, many times they'll go to verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, da da da, and then they go to verse 2 and then they stop. They won't go to 3. You ever notice that? But 3 brings into focus what 1 and 2 is talking about. 3 brings it together. Here Paul is into pure spirituality. Let's go to the Greek. Interlineal.
Now Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, interlineal Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
By faith we understand to have been adjusted the ages.
You have the aorist tense there. It was done before time. Read that again. To have been adjusted what?
To have been adjusted the ages by a word of God.
The ages were put in place, designed, placed there, organized, sequenced. Not in the matrix. Nothing resides in the matrix except testimony. The reality is not physicality. The reality is spirituality. That thing exists because God said it. Here we have the Greek word the rhemati, which is singular. Saying, one saying. And that's kind of tough to follow, you know. That's why I say you got to get out of physicality. In spirituality, there's no sequences.
No.
In eternity, there's no yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
No.
There's no before and after. Everything is the eternal now. Everybody say the eternal now.
Eternal now.
In eternity. Before time, one thing. That's where everything is. What you do, what you don't do. What you get, what you don't get. What happened, what's happening, what will happen. These are all sequences. Incremental representations for testimony's sake. In eternity, is now. It's already there. It was placed in the matrix for the sake of disseminated unto us.
Unto us, yes.
It was placed there in one thing. Now you must take that ingression to understand the latter part as we move now to explain what transpires in daily life. Anything that shows up. Read.
Hallelujah. By faith we understand to have been adjusted the ages by a word of God, so as not out of things appearing,
not out of things appearing,
the thing being seen
thing
to have become.
Because that word, now, that become there, that strike that. That's not what it is. You're not dealing with eternality if you're talking about something to be, something become, that means it wasn't it before. Now, in manifestation, that might make sense. But in essence, in the saying, it is. Tomorrow already is. Next month already is. Say, that pastor is crazy. I'm going by the word of God. What is that verb, Brother Deacon? Do you have your Greek lexicon there? What is that word?
Present.
The present. Present what?
Passive, middle, positive.
Present. Present tense. It is.
It is.
Whatever it is, it is.
Right. Not become.
Oh, man. If we could just grasp that. You're not somewhere walking the floor worried about what's going to happen. What did Mother Goodloe Joseph say? Why worry about something that has already happened? If it is, it is what it is. It is already. That's what people worry to death about the election next year. If Republicans get in, they're going to do this, that, and the other, so forth. And even the candidates are saying, we're going to do this. We're going to. You. If one of them get in, they're only going to do what's decreed for purpose.
You're right.
Remember, in him, through him. For him.
For
him. Did he put authorities in there? And rulers? Yeah, no, as far as the things. They're all objects. That operate according to the decree. Listen. That thing is decreed, it must happen. On the other hand, if it's not decreed, it can't happen. Everybody repeat after me. It's in the same.
It's in the same.
Not the same.
Not the same.
Someone said to me, time to say, I don't watch the news anymore. The press is missing. No, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. It's depressing if you jump down in the matrix looking around at things. But it's refreshing if you go up into the essence of God's word, that is, in the vertical view, above the matrix, and look down on things. Everybody said God is in control.
God is in control.
All right, one other. Last week we were in... Corinthians chapter 10 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. And we will be going back over this again in the conference. And the pastor used to always say, teaching is 90% what? Repetition. You know, you say a thing enough. After a while, somebody catch on. And that's why you have the same old commercials. Like the air get bombarded with commercials. You ever watched a little child, let's say a toddler? After a while, they can actually verbalize the commercial while it's on the air. Why? Because they've heard it enough. And this is what we're trying to do here. Oh, no, not through brainwashing. but through the revelation of the Word of God. And anything that we say is backed up by the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. Chapter 10, brother, verse 13. Right, everybody got an amen? Amen. All right, read.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, King James Version. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you.
All right, let's go to the Greek.
Now from the interlineal text, 2 Corinthians 10:13. But we, not immeasurably, will boast, but according to the measure of the rule which divided to us God of measure.
Okay, now that immeasurable or not measurable speaks to the spirituality of the thing that's completely off the chart. That which is in the matrix is measured. And remember, we went through three verbs there. One of them was appointed. And this is the aorist tense. Was appointed. Third person singular, which cannot be I or me or you, has to be he or him. Who is that referencing? God. And it speaks of him setting the limits of what happens. Nothing that happens in your life is an accident or incident in relationship to it being something that you birthed or you originated. If I had done this, this would have, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. Everything that happened, did I act stupid? Yeah. I was very stupid. I'm stupid a whole lot. I probably get a few amens out there, but but how many times have I been stupid and the thing came out beautifully? And other times I think I did everything right and it collapsed. What is God trying to tell us? It's not about you. Again, in him, what? Through him, what? For him. God happens to get the lesson. I was watching Saturday Science Channel the other night, and they were talking about, you know, how they can maybe create some similar or interest, I think I wrote on this a while back, of eternal life. In other words, if I can take the memory of the brain out, they said, the body, forget it. I see some heads shaking. As you get older, I was telling one of my grandchildren, I said, hey, my knee, I said, that's part of getting old. You know? And one of my said, put your ear down by my knee. And I bent and see, every time I do this with this knee, it goes pop. And it hurts. That's part of old age. I said, don't worry, son. I said, you're going to get there. Granddad will be long gone, but you one day you'll be a grandma. that's kind of hard to fathom, right? I mean, it just seems that just a few days ago, my brother Wallace and I running around the house, and my mama screaming at us, "Sit down!" You know? Nobody has to tell me to sit down there. As soon as I hit that, I'm looking for the nearest chair, a couch, or even the bed. But what they're saying is that they can belong life through taking the memory in the brain and preserving it. And so you live on through your memory. Your body will be gone, but your memory will still say, this is the craziest thing. What happens is the conscious is awakened and becomes aware around maybe the age of 2 or 3. And God puts it into the matrix. And separation of the body doesn't mean the conscious lives on in the matrix. No. When he takes you out, he takes you out.
Amen.
Your body, your spirit, your soul, your conscious, you are out of here.
Amen.
Oh, thank God I'm out of here. Immeasurable things. The measured things. They are secrets. They are laid out. For what? For him. Last verse. Then we'll wrap it up today. Romans chapter 14 verse. What's that? 7. That's where we were last week. Lord is speaking to us, but some of us aren't listening. You notice Apostle Paul, he said, basically he had set under some pretty heady instructors. Pretty smart men. Gamaliel, however you want to pronounce it. They have different pronunciations. Paul had studied on him. Philosophy, he had it. The law, he had it.
Oh, yes,
and Paul said, to get this, I had to pitch it.
Yeah.
And not only that, I count it but trash. I'm being nice now. Dumb. For what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. It's about the spirituality. Read.
Now we're reading from Romans chapter 14, verse 7, King James Version. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord.
What's the final conclusion?
Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
All right, let's go to the Greek where we're really going to break it down now.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Romans 14, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
For no one of us to himself lives, and no one to himself dies. Verse 8.
Now, stop. Indulge me, and some of y'all are going to say, oh, Pastor, you're going to just follow. There is, in this verse, there is a construction 3 times. It is eon phē. Here you have the subordinate conjunction, eon, if though, if indeed, it could be translated either of those, and tē, which is an incipient particle that's conveying both. It's in this verse 3 times. 3 times. And so what he is saying here, that either or, and here what he's dealing with is life and death.
Yes.
Listen to me.
Oh, yeah.
Your life is not about you. Your death is not about you. It concerns you, but it only concerns you as it works according for him. Our living is not about ourselves.
No.
Our dying is not about ourselves.
Yes.
Three times you have this construction in there. Eon.
Yes.
Once he says concerning living. And then again concerning dying. Your living is about him. Your dying is according to him. Not about you.
Right.
You notice how he concludes that? He said, the Lord's we are. We belong to the Lord. It's to Kiriu Esme. We are the Lord. We belong to the Lord. If you don't belong to the Lord, why are you calling him Lord? Lord means boss. Our lives are about Christ. Paul writes on one occasion, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. It's all about him. Can you say it's all about him? Your purpose for being born is not about you. He didn't even save you because of you.
Amen.
And you know he didn't because he's... When were you saved? And this is going all over. I said again, when were you saved?
In eternity.
We were saved in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Not one day you got tired of sin.
Yeah.
Here, this... This body got tired of sin. I deal with that in the conference. No! It's all about him. So what we have to do is to look at matrix viewing versus scripture viewing. Yeah, I've got an axe to grind with the ministry. And ministers. And ministries. And what we're doing is we're taking the people into the matrix. And we're giving them the impression that this is what life is about. The matrix is anything but what life is about. All about the here and the now. It's too fast. It's too quick. If you live 100 years, you'll live 1,200 months, 36,500 days. Ooh, boy, that's a long time. In comparison to what? Forever? That's a drop in the ocean. That's like taking a teaspoon and dropping it in the Atlantic Ocean. In comparison... The only hope we have is an eternal life. Everybody say eternal life. That's our real life. Let's go to our document. And yeah, we'll be on this 2 years or more. There's no way. Let's go to page, six. Yes, page six. For those that are watching and those that might be listening, if you have the document, the sectionary what is the scriptures versus physical, secular designations or measures, the matrix. And in other words, what is it from the scripture view and what is it from the physical, secular view? Of what's happening in there, we should say. Everybody got to say amen. This other dissemination of occurrences and measures significantly outlays the sequence manifestation of what seemingly transpires. What are we saying there? We're looking into the matrix and we're looking into time. Let me break it down. We're looking into life. And we move by what we see. And what we think is influenced by what we see. And many of us, what we see with our physical eyes and our mental perception is all that we see. And this is why many of us are just one big ball of nerves. God's people, basket cases. I'm not talking about the world. God's people. If that's your only view of life, no wonder you're miserable. Now here, according to Romans chapter 8, God has subjected our current environment in the matrix to vanity or worthlessness. Now, you're going to look into the sphere of worthlessness, and that's all you see is what's in the sphere of worthlessness, and you're going to be encouraged. I don't think so.
Not so. No. No way. No.
What's going to happen to you is you're going to get on a roller coaster ride. Your mental perception is on a roller coaster ride. One day up, next day down. I was happy to last year, and then this happened, and now, you know, I don't know, you know. Then most of us, many of us, we rate God on the basis of what we see. So, man, life is a drag, Gavin. What is life? First of all, who is life? Christ is life. Here we have a Greek noun, metron, rendered measure. Here we're going to define the matrix, what it is, why it's there, what's happening in it, why the things in your life are happening the way they are. Because you've set some goals, haven't you? And nothing wrong with you setting goals. But there's something wrong with you if your life is totally and solely based upon your goals or what you think or what you want and your plan. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is God has the plan. And whatever's in there for you was placed in there for you. And we look around and we see other folk and we say, wow, they've got this and that. Don't you go there.
Amen.
You belong to him and whatever is about you is for him, not for you. You are a component of that which is for him. We were created for him. The events and circumstances of our life are for him, not for us.
Amen.
Didn't we just read it?
I mean, yeah.
But that's not the way we've been taught. We've been taught like we're the center of the universe. God's on the peripheral, and his job to feed stuff into us. maybe based upon how well we please him or whatever, which is crazy because there's no way you can please God aside from Christ.
Amen.
And so we think our lives are basically about our families, our jobs. And don't get me wrong, somebody always say, well, you know, Pastor, you're sounding kind of good. No, no, listen. If life here was eternal, then maybe we have argument. It's too short to just be about each other.
Amen. Amen.
In these bodies. What is lasting is who you are in the body of Christ. Now we're talking about something. Life is too short. To get so stressed out on it. And here we're God people. We are heirs of God. We are sons of God. We're heirs of that which belongs to Christ. And what? We're unhappy. Because something's not going right in the matrix. And that's when we read about Apostle Paul in prison. He's writing those letters to the to Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus and at Colossus and at Philippi, and he's writing, and then in one of them, I think it's in Philippians, he states, rejoice. And then again, I say rejoice. I'm in prison, and you're telling me to, hey man, my bills are behind, you telling me to be happy. I'm sick, I've got this ailment, and you're telling me to be happy. I've got this infirmity, and instead of it getting better, it looks like it gets worse, and you're telling me to be happy. Why should I be happy? Because everything concerning you is not about you, it's about him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Everything. Yes, Lord.
And whatever's going on, it won't be long. Just finish this one paragraph. It's just, I don't know, maybe on this 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Amen. We're going to take our time. Measure. Metron is really measure. It conveys proverbially the rule. Listen. The rule of standard. Of judgments. Determined in proportionally extents or limits. What's in there concerning your life and everyone else's life is placed there, and God has a purpose for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it operates according to God's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's in the framework of what we call time, space, and physicality is there for testimony. Not about us, about him. Follow this. This mode is expressive in quantitative methodology, rationing. In other words, it's there, it's set, and it's rationed. What is it rationing? What is being rationed? What?
What?
What else? When? What else?
Why?
And what else? How? Everybody repeat after me. What? When? Why? And how? Is ration. In other words, it's set there, and the limits are set, and it's not about you, it's about him. And what his purpose of you is depends upon what's in there. Now, a lot of times I mean, look at the matrix, I don't like what's going on. But I don't call the shots. But then the Spirit comes to let me know who I belong to.
Yep.
And it's not about me. And so I don't have to have everything laid out in a certain course,
mm-hmm.
a certain way,
mm-hmm.
working out a certain, in a certain sequence.
Mm-hmm.
for my sake.
Because
life is not about my sake. Life is about his sake. Now,
amen.
This kind of teaching is not going to be popular. Because we've been taught that it's about us. And we've gone through some scriptures, and we're going to continue to go through the scriptures. And how that thing works, how it operates, where it goes. In life, some people get sick and they get healed. Other folk get sick and it stays there with them. Paul's infirmity, what? It stayed with him until he left here. If he was right in God, now he went to the Lord three times, didn't he? Not once, twice, three times. What did the Lord tell him? I'm just putting it in other words. Paul, leave that thing alone. My grace is sufficient. I'm going to get more glory out of you being infirm than I would get whether you are not ever infirm. And after Paul understood that, he said, hey, Lord, let me be infirm if you're going to get the glory. How many of us can think that way? No, I'm looking at someone else and say, they got this and that. You know, when we sing songs, there's no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. And then we looked and said, why hasn't it been done for me? He said, no, not like that. Anyway, what's good for the goose may kill the gander. Don't have the Peter syndrome. What about John? No. Again, Paul said, for him I live, for him I die. Oh, my God. Let me finish up this. So he rushes what, when, why, and how, as such is extracted within limits God assigned for manifestations and the workings of such, but more explicitly, the thing comes out according to what is allowed, according to his eternal purpose. Everybody say eternal purpose. So what if I don't get that house on Sugar Hill? I never get to run with the elite. What if I have to move around 1 foot at a time instead of running? Am I going to look at the guy running and feel like I've been cheated out of something? What if I'm blind physically? Am I going to be resentful because I can't physically see? I think of Deacon, the time is gone. I think of Deacon Eddie Chown. Some of you from the old church remember. If you would look in his face, you would probably go, ugh. He was working on a boiler, and the boiler exploded in his face. And they had to make him up as far as his money could pay for something that resembled a face. And it didn't really. You would look at him. I had to learn to look at him, and I learned to just look at that man and love him. Blind, he didn't have any eye sockets. But I remember that I learned so much from him.
Yeah.
He would come into church though singing. Had a beautiful voice. And many of the hymns that I love so much now. I used to listen to Deacon Channel sing those songs. his hands and fingers blown off. But yet, he kept a song in his heart.
Right. Oh.
And a praise. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Praise in his mouth.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Magnifying the Lord.
Yes. Lord.
And then, in his latter days, he got very sick. At one point, he went into a coma for several months. You all know the story. The Lord brought him back. But he brought him back for a testimony. His wife, Emma, some of y'all remember Mother Chang. That was a couple that truly loved each other. I learned many things through that couple. She called him hubby. She loved hubby. And it had to be love because when you looked at him, the face was gone. Mm-hmm. Now that's love.
Mm-hmm.
But when he went into the coma and he came back out, he stood up in testimony meeting and he said, "Y'all gonna think I'm crazy, but I don't care. He said, I tell you, I have never experienced so much peace as I have." He was talking about the time that he was in the coma. He said, you can't imagine the joy and the peace. And he loved Emma. But you know what he said? He said, "I can't wait to get back with my Lord." Oh, my God.
Oh, glory to God.
Here, God had given him a spiritual comprehension and insight of eternal life that completely obliterated and made obscure whatever he was going through physically. That's what life is about. We're victors, not victims. Our lives should be filled with joy.
Yes.
Whether I'm broke, and I'm not just talking, I've been there and I am there. Whether I'm infirm, no matter what's going on, I'm happy in Jesus alone.
Yes.
I'm happy in Jesus alone.
Glory
to God. Yes. And the saints used to sing the song, I feel like going home.
Glory to God.
I feel like going home. Yes. The hard trials may be pressing me. Because of what I know, I feel like going home. It's what you know that should guide you rather than what you see. What is it you know? Now, what you see is what's in the matrix. What you know is what's in God's Word. And so our view is eternal view. Our hope is eternal. Everything is eternal. And the church don't even sing the songs we used to sing. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. It's all about Him. Now as we move into the conference, I'm praying that those who come and even those that are close enough that are watching, go to from the website, the address and everything is there, and even the flyer that conveys what the conference is about, that you will come to the conference. First of all, let's get straight to salvation. Because whatever you think about salvation, that forms the impetus of whatever else you're going to view in relationship to your life. Your eternal relationship with God. When were you saved?
In eternity.
When were you saved? Everybody say eternity. When and where God saved. All right. God bless you. We'll see you in the conference.